directives of the sheet decisively. And on the sheet for this week was the Akdamat Hashem Yutes to Din Yedvara B'Shabbos. And on the sheet also were several Seifim in the Mishnah Berurah, primarily the Seifim that are related to Sif Aleph. Thank you very much. They're related to Sif Aleph and also Avir Alacha. And that's what I'm responsible for. So any questions that will be asked outside of this, I will not respond to. Only because there is enough material here to keep us for a while. And I will be glad to discuss Borea, but if I want to discuss Borea properly, I need approximately 100 hours, to be very honest with you. And if you're willing to give me 100 hours, I'll do it. I'm asking to do it, but at this point, I prefer not to. The Mishnah Berurah, the Hakdamah here, is a very famous Hakdamah, Shin Yutes. That's the paragraph that precedes the presentation of the Halacha. Mishnah Berurah points out that many people are nichshol in the issur of Borea. And the Mishnah Berurah actually, very in a fascinating way, also notes this same idea in his Hakdamah to Hilchos Shabbos in general. He points out that if a person does not have knowledge of Borer, it is almost impossible that one would not be nichshol from the Chisar Yediyah. And the problem with Borer, perhaps over and above all the other halachas of Shabbos, says Mishnah Berurah, is the following. That when it comes to, let's say, for example, Dine Bishol or Dine Muktzah, so those are primarily averas that are rabbinic in nature. Not everything in Bishol is the Habanan, unless a person goes ahead literally and cooks something on Shabbos. You're involved in Isurim of Shehiyah, of Chazarah, and the like. Those are Isurim of Rabbanan. Hashem in Borer, the Mishnah Berurah says, there's kimat no situation where you're over an Isur Rabbanan. It's either Isur Da'isa or Mudal Hakila. That's how Mishnah Berurah points out here in the Akdamah to Simon Shim Yates. And therefore, Isur Rabbanan are almost non-existent as far as this halakha is concerned. So, let me begin by just referring to the Gemara in Shabbos, which I imagine you're probably familiar with. I just mentioned the Mishnah Daf and Gimel. The Mishnah points out that among the Avos Melachos, the Mishnah mentions four: Zore, Borer, Tochei, and Meraki. Translated: Zore, winnowing, which we spoke about this year, when the Kohen was still there. Borer is the Melacha that we're going to be focusing on right now. Tochei, as you know, is grinding. Meraki. The Gemara right away asks the following question on Gimel and Beis. Hainu Zoreh, Hainu Borer, Hainu Meraki. The Gemara assumes that all these three are really identical malachas. Rashi says on the spot, Shekula malacha achasein, Shemafish ochel mitzok psolas. The idea of all these malachas is to separate ochel from psolas. That is Zoreh, winnowing, and I assume you're familiar with winnowing, after we have essentially detached the grain from its chibur, the karka. Then we take a wind shovel, and the grain is thrown up in the air. That's called rachas, that's how Rashi and the Gemara has. It's a wind shovel, and thereby you are separating, doing the act of separation. And then borer, as of course we'll see shortly, separating all from solace. And the Gemara answers this question by indicating, Abai barav adami tavayo, kol mil sadika b'mishkan, avagab didam yola choshiba. Even though you may have halachas that are similar to each other, but they are apparently independently considered, each one individually, and we'll see in a moment there are chilukim between them, and we're not going to really focus on Zoreh and Meraki, but more on the Malacha Borer. That is the first statement in the Gemara. Then we have the following braisa that the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, in the Shabbos, if I have two different types of ochel, Borer v'ochel, once you do an act of Borer and eat, Borer u'meniach, one can do an act of borer and put it down. Below yivror, however, one should not be borer. Bimbir achayim chatas. If you do borer, you're chayim chatas. A statement which is inexplicable and incomprehensible. And on this, the Gemara has several ukiptas, and these ukiptas are pasuk in the halacha. First is that of ula, when the Gemara says borer v'ochel borer meniach lebo bayom. Borer for that same day is permissible. Below Yivror, what does that mean? Lamachar. If I'm going to do an act of Borer for tomorrow, that's not permissible. That's the first issue. We have to discuss that at some length because the Halacha L'maisa we paskin La'alter, if it's for immediate use, it's permissible. Of course, the question is what's called the Alter. That's a subject of a lengthy discussion among the Dolei Achronim. Rav Chisda says, Borer v'ochel Borer v'niach refers to Pachos Migashir. That if I am Borer less than a Shir, that's permissible. Below Yivror, Kashir. Even though Rashi in this spot points out that Chatzi Shir Asim Ben HaTorah, very famous Rashi. Even though the Chatzi Shir Machlokes would be Rabbi Yochanan Veshlok Shinyuma on the last parak refers to Chatzi Shir Machlokes Asuros, Rashi applies it to Melachos of Shabbos as well. And that's a subject of another discussion, but we're interested in the Ukimta, that I can be Borer Pachos B'Gashir. I can't be Borer Kashir. Next, Rabbi Yosef says, Borer Ba'ochel B'yad. If I use my hand, I don't use a kli, I'm yukhul the barrier, that's also permissible. Lo yivrar, what can I not do? I cannot use a kli, namely the rabbanan, what's called k'no mitamcho. K'no mitamcho yakeh with the ranam yukhadu the barrier, but it can be used for barrier as well. Sometimes you have a kli, which in and of itself is not a sieve, it's not a sifter, it's not something which is used exclusively for the purpose of barrier, but it has multi-purposes. That, the Gemara says, is patal asr. That's not isa the rabbanan. However, when you chayim chatas, b'nofa u'bikvara. If I use a sieve or a sifter, these are kelim and yuchadu l'borer, then you chayim chatas midaraisa. So the third ukimta is biya. Fourth ukimta, ochel mitom psoles. The halacha says that I can only be borer what? Ochel from psoles. However, if I'm borer psoles to ochel, that of course is asa. How do you define what's called psoles, what's called ochel? So the Tesis writes over there in Shabbos, anything that I don't desire is called psoles. That which I want is called ochel. And the last two kimta the Gemara says is the alter, as opposed to the bo bayom. If I do it for immediate use, then it's permissible. If I do it the bo bayom for later on, then it's not permissible. So generally, the rule of thumb is that you can be barer the ochel biyad miyad. That's more or less the mnemonic device you should try to remember. I'll mention one or two more things along the way. Okay, so as I said, I'm now going to discuss primarily the Hakdama and basically the first sif that's found here. First, I'm going to raise a whole series of questions, and then I will attempt to resolve some of them, and many of them will remain unresolved, at least in this session. And there's one more session, I think, Rabbi Zinkin for Borer. It's really a comedy hour, what we're trying to do, to resolve Borer in two short sessions, and I'm not going to, obviously. I'm going to raise a number of issues. I first want to mention, even though the Shulchan Aruch speaks about Shnei Mini Ochlin, the Taz right away points out, not Dafka. When we speak about Borer, it's not necessarily Ochlin, but also the Pibagodim points out, applies to Begodim, applies to Kalim, applies to clothing, it applies to utensils, it applies to Svarim. And that you see actually from the Mishkan, and you see from a number of Gemaras as well, that it applies to areas outside of food items. The proof is actually from the Samamonim, because Samamonim that we use in the Mishkan for the purpose of dyeing, so there was not a food item. And we see that it applies to items that are not food items. And since we're talking about Borer, even outside of the area of food items, so therefore, if I have, as I said, whether I'm talking about taking one dish from a pile of dishes, or for that matter, taking a beggar from a pile of begodim, or taking a piece of silverware from a whole, you have a lot of cutlery in front of you, other silverware, all this already is the issue of Borer, and in some cases it will be Mutter, some cases will be Aser. You have to know what the Klolim are as far as this matter is concerned. In general, I should point out, and this is very important, many years ago there was a beautiful sefer, I think I mentioned it before, written by Dayan Grunfeld. It was a very well-known Dayan in England, and actually I was lucky to meet him and even meet some members of his family once in one of my trips to England. So he has a book called, the book was entitled The 39 Melachos, a very thin book. I'm very sure you're probably familiar with it. It's a very fascinating book. It was one of the first of its genre to be written in the topic of Hilchos Shabbos, written probably 50 years ago. And what he does is he has each melacha and a number of examples and definition of what the melacha is. But the main premise of the book is to define the Gemara in Beitzah, Melachos Machshavos Asvat Torah. What does that mean? So he has pages and pages of, he was not only a great Dayan and a great Posek, he was also a great Baal Machshava, a great thinker. And we had other books with him as well that were actually published in English. For example, the Sefer of Shemitah, which is a classic Sefer, classic. I assume you're familiar with it. And, but he also had this book on Shabbos, was probably was considered to be his magnum opus, even though the whole book is maybe 60, 70 pages. I don't think it's even that, actually less than that. So he goes into a long avichos that Melachos Machshavos Asvat Torah, what the Torah actually prohibited on Shabbos, is not only the physical effort, but for example, as we know, if you carry a machat, you carry a needle, but Rishusayachat, the halach is yechayim actually because of Shabbos, Yehovah Nisad Araisa, Mashenkin, if I carry a massive load in my house, I move about, shall we say, Aronos, I move rather large, even bulky kind of objects in my house, which are quite heavy, the halacha is that it's mutter. So even though the physical effort, of course, is a massive one, and that of carrying the machal out from one mishus to another mishus is negligible, the din is that the mishkan involves what he calls creative malacha. He's the one who used that terminology. Creative activity, or creative malacha. That's called malacha machshavas asar Torah, and not physical malacha. And if you're interested, Rav Dayan Folk from Gateshead, some of you probably, most of you probably never heard of him. There's a great Dayan, actually. He became known for some other work that he wrote, unfortunately, perhaps even tragically in some respects. He wrote a famous work on another topic. I won't mention it right now. And that was very controversial. And actually what he did was, really, he wrote a two-volume work on this particular topic that he discovered, that he discussed, rather. Not discovered, but that he discussed. And I wrote him a letter about 10 years ago with about 250 ha'aras. I'm very into that topic. And so I wrote him a letter with 250 ha'aras, and he sent me back because he wrote a sefer without any ma'amar komos. How could you write a sefer without ma'amar komos? Just write one page, page after page after page of chumras. That's not fair. You want to be makbir, at least explain what your position is. So he told me in the letter, he wrote back to me, that I plan on putting out a sefer which will be the ma'amar komos for that work. 10 years later, he produced two svarim that are approximately 2,500 pages. I don't know if you have a copy of that. He sent me a copy. That's how I have it. He sent me a copy, 2,500 pages, and on each, and then he sent me my original letter. This is really an Englishman. He's so organized. He sent me my original letter, and each ha'ara, page number 250. Ha'ara number 2, page number 575. Look at, on the bottom, ha'ara number 6. And that's basically what he did. I was astounded. I was amazed by the Derech Eretz and by the... of course, he defended all of his chumras, understandably. Whatever the case is, he's a goy nadir anyway, but he also wrote another sefer, Hilchos Shabbos. I don't know if you're aware of that. It was a very famous kuntresim that he put out of Hilchos Shabbos. And I only got the kuntresim. I didn't get all of them. I only got some of them. And I was in England, and I pursued him in Gateshead and went to see... Mativo Shalubar Zen. Anyway, he's not a Uber, but he's an Ubu Gobel. He's a great Gobel Batura. So he has, in one of his Kuntresim, unfortunately he had no extra copies left for me, but in his Kuntresim he has in the Psicha to his Lamates Malachis a long discussion, and he comes to the same Maskana, and he actually told me he based himself on Dayan Grunfeld and his little Sefer. They knew each other, both Dayan in England. Anyway, so essentially it comes to the same maskara that malachas of Shabbos are malachas that are creative in nature and not physical in nature. And therefore, borer. And the reason why I mention this is because the most difficult malacha that I just mentioned a moment ago is the malacha of carrying, of hotzah. What creative activity is involved in hotzah? The Abinezer, Rasul Lechi was very fond of quoting this Abinezer. The Abinezer defines that the malachas, command all the lamates malachas of Shabbos, there is some shinui taking place in the chefetz. There's something that's happened in the chayfetz itself. Whatever the malacha is, with the exception of hotzah, Taisa writes in Shabbos, the hotzah is malacha grua, and you need psukim for each actually aspect of the malacha. Otherwise, why is it grua? Why is it considered to be a terrible malacha? It's not a proper definition, but why is it considered to be a malacha grua? The answer is because there's no shin in the chayfetz. Nothing has happened. It didn't affect any change in the chayfetz that I carried from one rishus to the other rishus, and therefore that malacha is of a difficult nature. But in general, borer, how do we see, where's the creative element involved in borer? So here the Bi'a Halacha, in the one that we were asked to look at, the Bi'a Halacha points out that the ochel before the act of borer is not roi. By taking out the psalos from the ochel, what am I doing? I'm effecting a tikkun in the ochel. That's how he writes, that's how he defines the malacha, there's a tikkun in the ochel. So with any tarovus of good and not good that is psalos and ochel, you're creating a situation where one item is roi and the other item is not roi. And therefore you are effecting some sort of a change, a positive change in the tarovis, because borer only applies when I have a tarovis, and that's a separate discussion that we have to have. Anyway, I just want to now mention a number of individual cases that have come to me in the last 25 years. And I've risked listing them down for myself over the years, and just to show you how complicated the issue of borer is. I'll start by referring to two ochlin, two different types of ochel, namely nuts and raisins. Let's assume I have a combination of nuts and raisins. They actually sell it in the marketplace as well. I want nuts, I don't want raisins, so the raisins are interfering in my use of the nuts. So it's not roi in its present state. By removing one from the other, I'm creating a situation where one is roi, the one that I want is now roi, before it was not roi, or for that matter, shnei minei svarim. Matter the Bi'a Halacha brings another chiddush He says, even the rovers are two things that I want. Let's say I want both the nuts and the raisins. I want them both. I'm interested in nuts and raisins. However, I want them separately. So he brings a raya from the Rambam. That's also called borer. It's a very fascinating chiddush in the Bi'ah Halacha. If you saw this Bi'ah Halacha right over here. By the way, it's kedai if you want to check, you want to pick one halacha of Shabbos that you want to learn, pick borer and spend 1 year learning it. I'm not exaggerating. That's what you need. 1 year, of course, depends how many hours you devote to it. Rabbi Nebensol Shlita told me a number of times, Rabbi David, that's what he told me. So I thought he was joking. That's in English, that means he suggested to me that I learn Hilchos Shabbos the entire year. No Makkos, no Sanhedrin, no Yevamos. Just learn Hilchos Shabbos the whole year. So I said, I said to Rabbi Nebensol, "Be'emet, that's what we should do." So yes, me. He said, "I'll tell you what. Invite the Talmidim from the yeshiva, and we'll test them in Hilchos Shabbos. We'll see if they know Hilchos Shabbos." I said, "Arav, lo tzarich lehazmin et ha-talmidim. Ef shal lehazmin et rosh ha-yeshiva, v'chol lo tzarich gam ki yikasher." He'll also fail in the test of Hilchos Shabbos. "Oh," he says, "that's exactly what I'm telling you, that the whole yeshiva should learn Hilchos Shabbos." Hilchos Shabbos is really a lifetime endeavor. Even though the Mishnah writes Chagiga, it's Harar Matulim Mitzara, Mikra Mu'ad V'alach Merubas, it's all based on a hashtag. There's no pasuk. There are no psukim. There are very few psukim. And yet the halachas are incredibly complicated. Borer is probably the most complicated of all the halachas of Shabbos. And the Rabbi Ephraim will agree. But the Fiyani is Daiti, Rabbi Zinke, and Rabbi Steinman, whoever else, Rabbi Blasky. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but borer needs an enormous amount of time. So the Bi'ah Halacha quotes a Rav Rambam. That's also called borer. In the case where I want both items, you have a problem with borer. Let's say I have, someone asked me the following shayla. You're going to get a kick out of this. If I have, let's say, food in my house, and my house is locked. Now I open the house. Now the food becomes roi. So the guy asked me, according to his Mishnah Berurah, that should be an act of borer. I said, "What? What are you talking about? That has no connection to borer. He's a bill of big maskin. That's not called borer." But he thought it was borer based on the Bi'ah Halacha. That's what he told me. Or if it's that matter, let's say taking ochel out of a bag certainly is not an act of borer, because both the ochel and the bag and in the house is not a tarobis. In order to be over on borer, what must you have a tarobis? Tarobis means it has to be a mixture. As I said, that needs definition. It's not called borer when I open up the house or I take the food out of the bag. I am not violating any act of borer. I don't do a maisa of borer in order to violate that. Let's give you another example. Let's say I have oranges and peelings, or apples and peelings. That certainly is an issue of borer. Now let me ask you, someone at Balabai asked me this question. What about a candy wrapper? Is that called borer? When I go ahead, I want to get at the candy. This happens every Shabbos. In my shul, we have a candy fellow, what they call him, a candy man. And so the question is that called borer, or is that considered to be food in the bag? How do you view that? I'm just listing a whole series of questions. I have many, many. I have actually 16 pages of questions that have been asked of me in the last, I write them down, if you don't mind, I'm thinking, and that's how I keep track of them. Or for that matter, two rows of svarim. You want to take out the svarim from the front row in order to get to the back row. Is that beseder? When I go ahead and pull out the svarim in front, the Mishnah Berurah is a famous, some call it infamous, heter, which is known as siluk. A heter of siluk. What does siluk mean? I go to someone's home in the winter, and everyone has a coat, and there's 75 people walk in, and there's no room to hang up all the coats. What do? They drape them all in the banister. So now 100 coats in the banister, and it's piled high with coats. And now when I come to leave, let's say I leave a bit early, but my coat happens to be on the bottom. I was the first one in and the first one out. Anyway, so I have to get my coat. How do I get my coat? By removing all the other coats. All the other coats have solas. My coat is ochel. What right do I have to go ahead and do so? Because Mishnah Berurah and his mechadish, what seems to be yesh me'ayin, mamish yesh me'ayin, almost like the Briyas Ha'ilam, a new heter called siluk. What does siluk mean? By removing the other coats, I can get to my coat. So I'm not doing an act of borer. There's no borer. I'm doing an act of siluk. This matter is a very famous Mishnah Berurah, and Mishnah Berurah Kedarkov and his great chesed and his great love for Klal Yisrael has saved us from borer kimat every moment, every single action that we do, because siluk is a very significant heter. Not all achronim agree with the heter of siluk, and as a matter of fact, there's no mention, no hide or hair mention of this concept of siluk in the Gemara, at least not the Gemara in Shabbos that I'm familiar with, perhaps all the Gemaras you're familiar with. Anyway, but this is another question, and let me mention a few other things while I'm at it. As far as borer is concerned, regarding other halachas of Shabbos, as you know, there's no heter on tzarich ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh is only mutter when? On which day? On Yom Tov. That's the Mishnah. Megillah. which is the favorite Masechta in Yeshiva, Ein Bein. Mishnah has that Ein Bein, so there's Lechol Nefesh, a heter regarding Borer. Regarding Borer, however, there is a heter of Lechol Miyad. The Gemara says that Borer, you only chayv the Borer the Otzer. If you Borer for the purpose of preserving it for later on, the Otzer, the gather of Borer is the Otzer. If it's La'achila, it's not included in Borer. So that's a very significant, it's the only Malach in Shabbos that you find such a concept, if you will, Tzar Lechol Nefesh. Because I have to borrow some all never similar as you have actually with reference to Yom Tov. Well, there are certain tsunayim at the time we just mentioned a moment ago. Namely, it has to be ochel b'tok solis, that you have to take the ochel, the thing you want, and the thing you don't want. It has to be biyad, if you use a kli, so then it has to be, as I said, it has to, if you're going to use a kli, I'm yuchel the borer, so then you're over on Yisra Daraisa. If you use a kli, which is not yuchel the borer, it's part of al-asr, and then also has to be miyad. Now, just to give you a number of examples, someone asked me on Shabbos, this past Shabbos, I saw for the Cholent, they had here a very interesting fork. What is the nature of that fork? Was I allowed to take Cholent using that fork? It's a fork. You know what a fork is? Why was that fork, by the way, used for the Cholent?
What kind of fork is this?
What? It's a larger fork, not a fork that is individuals eat with. It's a, what do they call that fork?
Serving fork.
Spoon in the shape of a fork.
A spoon
in the shape of a fork. A spork. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a word I'm not familiar with. I know, I heard of Dr. Spock, I'm not familiar with spork. Okay, so what is the status of that spork? Is that a kli I'm yukul debarer? Or would you say that's, I don't think it's a kli that I eat with, because it's rather large kind of utensil. But isn't that large? Larger than most, than mouths. Which is not a problem for people who go to Papa Guy's, whatever the case is. But I'm asking, what's the status of that kli? No, what would you say? Is that a kli I'm yukul debarer? Someone asked me here, this Shiloh, this Pesh Shabbos, Michael, what do you say? You know what I'm talking about? There was that.
You're supposed to know.
That's right. That's correct. That was exactly.
Is that a sifter also?
But is it a sifter? It seems to be too large to be a sifter.
Can't sift.
The areas between the prongs were very large. It reminds me of the Gemara in Tainus. I don't know if that's the same Gemara here, the Yeshiva stuff. But it reminds me of the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara speaks about a large mazleg in terms of the grain. But whatever the case, I'm asking you, halacha l'maaseh, perhaps you can tell me. So I'm simply raising this question, I want to raise a few more questions, and then I'm going to get to some, a little bit of halacha l'maaseh today. I'll probably get to most of it next time, if you permit me to go on for 100 hours. that was an act of bore. Anyway. Okay, so.
This is all planned.
I know that. Someone asked me about a fruit cup. I mean, you put vegetables and fruits, and in order to put it in, you have to take off the peelings first. Often they serve fruit cups at weddings and affairs and things like that. And that's an act of borer to remove the souls from the ochel. But if it's lechol miyad, that doesn't
how go long is miyad?
Borer. It's called derech achila, which is another one of the very important heterim with reference to borer, and then that would be mutter. That's not done.
How long is miyad?
Okay, I'm going to discuss that. That's all the bli nether. Maybe I might not get to it today, but I'm going to get to it, bli nether. So it's if it's not done lechol miyad, it's lechol daraisa. I'm going to give you a number of examples of lechol miyad in a few moments. Lechol miyad means pashtus, that as soon as I finish the borer, I eat it. That's what I would say offhand. That's what lechol miyad means. And if after the peeling you become involved in something else, before you start eating, that's not called lechol miyad. It might be nisa daraisa. So in the case of, let's say, the fruit cup, if the borer is done before davening, and then people come from shul, that's a nisa daraisa. That's certainly not lechol miyad.
So what about before the meal?
Okay, one second. I'll give you a few ekotimsis in a moment that I'm referring to. means, can I eat that fruit cup or not? Let's say a fruit cup was made ayidei melechus borer. Now here, the bi'alacha, the beginning of Shin Yotes, Kotzer Prima Godin. Very famous Prima Godin. One of the most famous in the entire Shulchan Aruch. The Prima Godin says over here, in Shin Yotes, which the Brewer quotes it, that b'di'eved, if you did an act of borer, so the Mishnah Brewer says, also la'isa Shabbos. You're not allowed to be nenef that fruit cup on that Shabbos. The Prima Godin has the machlokes if it's also la'ilam. But certainly for that Shabbos, it's unquestionably asr. And the churban should be asr to eat the fruit cup. But if you look in Siman Shin Yud Ches here in the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah calls in Shin Yud Ches, which is the previous Siman that deals, of course, with all the Yisurim of Bishol. So he quotes that Shogeg, if a person b'Shogeg did the malacha, it's asr to eat it that Shabbos. And there he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, the Sifkot Zayin, that the Gaon was machriya against the Mechaber. A person who does melacha b'shogeg on Shabbos, they go and paskin, mutar la'isa Shabbos. You're allowed to be nemeh from the melacha on that Shabbos. So the person making the fruit cup is a shogeg, and the goyim holds his mutar that Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says in Bi'ah Halacha, only if there's a tzorech. What does that mean if there's a tzorech? If I don't have so much food, or the Suda Shabbos would be lacking, then you can be sumach on the Vilna Gaon. But assuming I have enough food without the fruit cup, then it's not called, obviously, a Shasat Tzorech. What happens, and this someone asked me, the Shaila, what happens if the woman who works so hard to make this fruit cup, to make all the other foods in the house, she will be humiliated if I don't need the fruit cup? Is that called a tzorech? So I thought that perhaps that is called a tzorech, if her feelings would be hurt. The Bi'ah Halacha here, Mishum Kavod Abrios. The Bi'ah Halacha actually, after the Prima Gadim says, Ula Mashikasa Bigra, Sin and Shin Yud Chesh, Shabbatiyam and Shogig Mutar, Ein Lahachmir. The problem is, the Bi'ah Halacha himself says, Sin and Shin Yud Chesh, we're only Samech of the Gadim, it's Makam HaTzorech. So this Kasha, yes, I haven't saw, many years ago already. You hear the question? In Shin Yud Chesh here, the Bi'ah Halacha, based on the Prima Gadim, refers to this Vilna Gaon, and he says, B'di'evet shogig mutar b'ein la'achmir. But the Bi'ah Halacha himself says in Shin Yud Ches, the previous siman, that only if it's a Shas HaTzorech is there a heck to go ahead and be summit on this Vilna Gaon. So this question is asked already by Achronim, and the Oz Nibiru, which is Rabbi Yamin Zilva Zatzal, one of the great Paskim of our generation, he holds that the Gaon is of the opinion, b'shogig it's only mutar b'di'evet. So the Bi'ah Halacha in Shin Yud Ches cites also the Chayyadam that he holds the Malacha is only Asa B'di'evet, like Bishol, which is a massive Hanah of preparing food. But let's say a person were to go ahead and carry something from Rishus HaYadam to Rishus HaRabim, despite the fact he violated the Malacha, but since a person actually did not change the Etzem HaOchel, the Chayyadam Paskin is not Asa B'di'evet. So despite the fact that Borer is a tikkun of the ochel, but certainly the ochel was right to eat without borer. However, we look upon the borer as if a person went ahead and did the tikkun right now. But in Metzias, the food was already right without borer. So it enters into the subject of the chayyadam, woe be the din actually of shamal office. So using the gong who says that it's always mutab the yabba b'shogay, and using the chayyadam by shamal office, so therefore the Mishnah Berurah holds there's no need to be a machmir, even shalom b'shas ha-tzarech. That's the Oz Nidru, that's all cheshbon that he has regarding this matter. I'll just mention one or two more things. Let me just, in this regard, there's a very beautiful sefer, a little Shabbos, called the Gseis HaShulchan. He's very famous, Avram Chaim Noah. And he has a very beautiful sefer. I bought it for one reason, that sefer, because he has an issue he deals with that many of the reasons that seemingly are no longer relevant today were responsible for Gzeres and Chazal. So what do I do if the reason is no longer relevant? Do I still continue operating the Gzera Chazal? So he has a whole essay, whole kutras really, he wrote on this particular topic, which is very significant. So he deals with this issue also of Borer B'di'evet and Simen Tavkut Pe'al, because of people got them who asked B'di'evet, but he says that a person forgets and removes the klipa, he removes the peel from the pri, and we never found, he writes, Lo Shamanu Leso Biglal Zeh. Di Iker Isa B'maisa Shabbos Habib B'mezin. Rak Osu Shogei, the Gazu Shogei Gatu B'mezin. Ubechein Rak Osu, he says, Im Yeshli Negios. If I have Negios, he says, on this Malacha B'mezid, because it's possible to do the same Malacha B'hetta, so why should one do it B'Isr, if one could do the same Malacha B'hetta? You could have done it by Ochel Metop Psalas. You could have done it properly. You could have taken the Ochel for the Psalas, that would have been permissible, and you could have done it B'hetta. So if it's a food that you cook, so there's a reason to be goes there, B'mezid of the Shogi. But here, no. And he goes back to the original din that by shogeg with shav malachas you don't have to be machmir with the yevam. So let me just—I want to just, if I can, just a few more minutes before you ask. I just want to just make a mention of a few more things that I think are very relevant to the question that Noah that you just mentioned before. Namely, we said the three tanoim. Namely, what are the three tanoim? We said number one, ochel b'tov solis. Number two, it has to be miyad. And number three, miyad or the altar. So the question now, of course, means what is the altar? That's what Noah asked a moment ago. I assume with a sefer, the altar means I'm going to learn it right away. With clothing, it means I'm going to wear it right away. But the Ramah says here in Sif Aleph, and that's the one that we were obligated to learn. Ramah says, I read, "V'kol mashir borer l'tzorach osa suda shemesiba miyad mikri l'altar." Meaning, even though the suda, let's say, I'm a kind, you know, some people are very makbid. They're to be kind, but it says in Chazal. Namely, what does it say in Chazal? Kol amarat mishulchano barichon leyom v'shnoisim. That they're very makbid about, Baruch Hashem. And what? Besakise also, barichon leyom v'shnoisim. Those are schoolers for arichis yom. Namely, if you go dafke the papagayos and you eat from morning till night, you may be even achil agas and other things, but as far as this aspect of things, you certainly from the kind of mitzvah. Kol amarat mishulchano barichon leyom v'shnoisim. These are all rebuzzing. Anyway, so the Rambam says, whatever person is borrowed, the Torah calls the Siddur Shemesiba, Nikri the Altar. Mishnah Berurah explains over here, let's say the Siddur is going to last for many, many hours. Is that called the Altar? So the answer no is yes. Since the borrow was done for this Siddur, that's called the Altar. Now, let's say, for example, you have Sheva Brachas in the middle of a meal, which is often the case. And now, the prayer that I'm going to do now, the Altar, let's say it's going to be related to the last Mana Achrona, the last
course,
thank you, which is going to take place 7 hours from now, the dessert. It's not some Samachal Achila. So, the Chura here, what's the Heter? The Heter is Derech Achila, because it's not the Derech Achila to prepare each food right before I eat that course, but rather I prepare everything beforehand. And then, even though there's going to be a lapse of 7-8 hours, it doesn't make a difference. But we know you can prepare, let's say, the dessert now, even though it will be eaten 3 hours later. So the question is, as I said, what's called when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about lechol miyad? What does that mean? What does it mean, lechol miyad or lechol b'osa suda? Means how much before the suda is called, you'll be eating right away. Mishnah Berurah does not tell you a shiur. There's no shiur found here in Mishnah Berurah. I read the Mishnah Berurah very carefully. I'm starting to read the Mishnah Berurah probably because of Rabbi Ifra. Like I read the Ramban. Kibah, lahavdil. But anyway, the Mishnah Berurah actually doesn't tell you the shiur. Of course, lalid the Torah l'machi asharis. Torah was not given to Malachi. You can't be mitzamtzein that, you know, the moment you finish preparing, that moment you quickly put it into your mouth. But it would seem that, is there a time period that's not called Sama V'Achila? So the Lashon of the Ramah is, the Tzarech Osa Suda Shemesed Ba Miyah. So there's another Mishnah Berurah in Shin Chabalev. That's what we have to extrapolate from that Mishnah Berurah. In Sivkot Memhe, if you have a Mishnah Berurah here, it's good to see it inside. There's a very famous Mishnah Berurah here also. The Mechaber says over there that it's Isur Tochen on Shabbos. Dak Dak. If you chop something Dak Dak, Yechai Mishnah Tochen. Are you familiar with Israeli salads?
Yeah.
You ever see an Israeli prepare a salad? It takes 6 hours. Because what do? Everything is chopped up, tak tak. Whenever I read this Mechaber, I think of duck, duck, goose, goose. Anyway, there's such a game. Are you familiar with that game?
Still play it.
Many years ago, I was lucky to see that game. I won't get into it. Anyway, Yehuda Blaski Shlita, are you familiar with that game? I wasn't cheshed you for a moment. Anyway, so the Mechaber says over there, Hamechatech Yerek Dak Dak Chayim Mishum Tochei. The Rama then gives many examples of what we're talking about, and then he tells you the following: V'chol Zeh L'Mariel V'chol Tichu Meniach Avlim La'Achlo Miyad Hakol Shori. Famous chiddush of the Rashba. That's quoted by the Rabba, that's just the Rashba, the Han, another Rishonim also say it, but the Gemara doesn't mention it. He's a heter of doing something when? Miyad. Not only applies to Borah, but applies to what of the Malacha? Tochein. So now here we look at the Mishnah Berurah. Here the Mishnah Berurah has what to say about this issue. Namely, what's called Miyad as far as the Malacha of Tochein is concerned. And so from here perhaps one can extrapolate to the Malacha of Borah. The Mishnah Berurah says that he tells you, I'll call upon him, you can't do the chitur of the betzalin, you want to cut the onions, dak dak, and you see him in the be'in and samach l'suda mamish, it's l'shem v'magen Avraham, has to be samach l'suda mamish. So applying it to Borer, there should be no time lapse before the suda. If I take this Mishnah Berurah and apply it, as I said, to the Malach of Borer, there should not be any time lapse, as I said, before the suda. And as I said, the Ramah here in Chin Yutes, in Asimin, so the Ramah actually doesn't really define it, but then I looked at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that's the Shulchan Aruch of the Balatanya, that Mishnah Berurah quotes all the time, As Moshe Baruch called the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, what does he call it? The Shulchan Aruch HaGraz. I'm going to Rav Zalman, Rav Shneur Zalman B'diadi. He's the Shulchan Aruch that's kedai to learn, really. It's an unbelievable Shulchan Aruch. So there I saw he writes in Shin Yates at Gun Beis, Vein Nikol the Alter or the Sama Lesud and Mamash. Avon Lo Lochin and the Acha Shah Asar. So he gives you a Shir. The Shir is a Shah. An hour. After an hour, it's not called Son of Lesuda. Within an hour, it's called Son of Lesuda. Then I went looking further. I found the Ben Ishchai, which a member of my shul has. He has all the Ben Ishchais. I don't have any of them. So he writes, Kol Shu Borer La'ach HaShah, Choshu La'ach HaZman Ba'asur. The Eglei Tal says explicitly, the Shir is the Shir of a Shah. Now, Moshe Feinstein has the following tshuva in Chelik Dalat Simonai Dal Sifat Yigimel. And actually, this shayla was asked by Rav Shimon Aida Zatzal, or Rav Moshe Zatzal. A woman wants to take a walk on Shabbos after she prepared the meal, a short walk. She allowed to take a short walk because then you might have a problem here in terms of burial. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Ve'en shah zu shel shir shah. You don't take the word hour literally, 60 minutes. Ela hazman shel derech shel isha zu l'sadeh zu dazos. V'kodem lezeh, afilu shir zman kotze mizeh, asa. There's no time limit of an hour, or a half hour, or three quarters of an hour. But rather, what does it depend on? How much time it takes to prepare the meal. That's called Sama Lesuda. If you start before, so then each meal is different. For example, Shal Shudas obviously is less time than the main meal. I assume by then people are somewhat sated, and therefore don't need such an elaborate kind of meal. Each person is different. Some do it more quickly, some do it less quickly, some are more efficient, some are less efficient. Sometimes there are a lot of people, sometimes there are a small number of people. The time to prepare the suda is longer. There's no particular zman when it comes to borer. So really, all these factors come into picture going to Rav Moshe Feinstein. I love Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's no one like him. Mamish chat v'dora. By the way, the same shir he has regarding ach v'chesa as far as ichud, I compare the two, even though the two separate issues, bichlal, but there's makom ledamos lahashreis between these items. So therefore, if the borer of a suda takes me 5 minutes peeling the eggs, but the achana of a suda may be much longer, because what's included in the achana of a suda, I assume, putting the tables together, preparing the chairs, and the like, setting everything up, and therefore, you don't say, since the etzem brera is 5 minutes, I only give myself 5 minutes. No, according to Moshe Feinstein, it would mean that you look at the suda as a holistic item. You look at that as one, shall we say, one unity, one collective unit, and so your son of a suda might be 1 hour. So you can't, as I said, just focus on the act of borer, which is 5 minutes. But rather, all the other hachanas are important as well. There's a very famous sefer, which now the Mechaber has written several from at Hilchos Shabbos, called El Meshulash. And at Hilchos Borer, it's called El Meshulash. Why is it called El Meshulash? Aleph Yud Lamed. Where does that come from? Or Ayel Meshulash, which was the Pasuk in Chumash. Where is that Pasuk found? Ayel Meshulash? Anybody? Here you are. Daniel Leif Hakein.
Crispin Absar.
What?
Crispin Absar. Crispin Absar.
That's right. Excellent. Wonderful. Outstanding. So the word Ayel, the Mechaber points out, is Aleph is Ochel, Yud is Yad, Lamed is Alter. That's what he called it, Ayel Meshulash. That's what he writes in the Mechaber. I actually went and bought the Sefer many years ago when it first came out. I think it was the first Sefer. He has actually other Sfarim now. I bought all the Sfarim on that. But whatever the case is, that he notes over here, he quotes actually from Rav Nissim Karelitz, Shlita. He's a great Gadol in Bnei Brak. We actually went to him, I think, a number of times over Oblasti Shlita, if I'm not mistaken. Rav Nissim Karelitz, my wife seems to like his Rebetzin very much. This time she spent an hour and 15 minutes with Rebetzin Karelitz. So it's all just us. Anyway, he talks about, what about singing Shalom Aleichem and Esh Yisrael? Is that considered to be part of the Suda? Of course, what's the answer? Clearly, yes. And if you don't sing it, oh, by the way. Anyway, but the especially the Esh Yisrael part. I hope you will be good husbands and recognize and appreciate your wives as you should. Anyway, so all these are considered to be part of the preparations and the like. I want to mention a few questions that we asked them be with reference to this issue. Namely, I'll get back to you, Daniel. I didn't forget you yet. I just wanted to get all this in before I do anything. And that is to say that a woman actually, a woman actually asked me this question. I have a woman in my shul who's a Baki Hilchos Shabbos. Mamash, a really unusual Baki Hilchos Shabbos. She studied Hilchos Shabbos for many years. And then when I gave a shiur in my shul to women Hilchos Shabbos a few years ago, and she would come and really It was, I did not like to say a Shir Hillel Shabbos in front of her. She would quote to me Prima Gottems. She's very, very bright, and she's very into learning in a very beautiful way. Anyway, so she asked me the following question. A woman prepares the food, and then, let's say she prepared it in a house dress, in order not to dirty herself, then she changed it to her Shabbos dress. So, can she give herself time for the change of dress in terms of Boreh? So again, I thought it was another push. It was, what do you call it, a slam dunk. Not even an issue. I'm learning the melacha. Slam dunk. But I just heard the Giants won again. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Unfortunately,
it's correct. Anyway, how much Bittul Torah can we have? Rabbi Zinkin, what are we going to do? There's no question that's included in the Hachana Pesuda. That means you can expand the definition of Hachana Pesuda. For example, the night of the Seder, for the Morer, you have to go ahead and do Borer. The Suda usually is much later after Magid. Often it's close to 12 o'clock, close to Chatzos. Can you be Borer much earlier? Here again, the answer is yes. All the above is included in the Hachana for the Suda. The Bi'alocha has, oh, but here I'm really not allowed to mention the Bi'alocha, but I accidentally saw it in Sif Dalit. Rabbi Zinkin, I hope you will forgive me. I won't be angry about Tosef. So here he talks about, this is, by the way, very fascinating Bi'alocha here. He talks about making a machol with the regel habehema. Anyone knows what that machol is called?
Chai.
Correct. Chai. See, I knew you would know. Anyone knows what chai is? It's found in Sildi. You don't know what chai is, do you?
What?
That's what I do. I told Arabia. Could you explain what that machol is?
Cello?
It's a kind of correct. They take actually the, it's made from the, I think it's usually from the legs of the animal, and they make it into a kind of jelly. I don't exactly know why it's so popular.
How is it pronounced?
Cha.
Cha. Right. It's pronounced, how's it spelled, by the way? You know how to spell? P? With a P?
Probably.
What?
I spell it
P-Schmidden.
Yeah.
C-H-A. C-H. That's how I spell it also. P with a French.
Schmidden.
C-H-A. Correct. That's what it is. Cha. Anyway, so it's supposed to be a delicacy. So Mr. Brewer here actually, in Sif Dalit, he mentions that this marco is dealing with the regular behema, and there's a problem with borer. So he says over here, you have to be careful, you should make it samach la'achila, samach la'achilas oso machol. Because lechol out there is dependent upon the use of this machol. Making it is not apparently shimush, the machol, it's called achazman. So there are many cases that here people don't realize there may be serious shilas. And I'm not going to be gunning borer. Okay, I guess I will permit a few questions to be asked, but again, they can only be asked on the first Seif and on the Akdama, the Mishnah Berurah Tabora, because I'm not ready to discuss all the other Shilas. I'll just mention, can I mention one more thing that I wanted to mention as well? I'll just mention this because someone asked me this question on Shabbos. Two Shabbos ago. Someone asked me that, as I said, Berurah applies to Svarim, it applies to clothing, it applies to other things as well. So therefore, can a woman be Berurah, the clothing at night that she plans on wearing in the morning, or for that matter, for her little children, means, let's say, someone wants to sleep late on Shabbos morning, not a man, of course, but a woman. A woman wants to sleep late on Shabbos morning. Rabbi Stevens, I keep pushing while you're talking. How could someone sleep late on Shabbos morning? Is something possible? Let me ask you.
10:30 we did.
No, see, he agrees with me, Baruch Hashem, thank you. You saved us. But they apparently think it's possible. I think I mentioned here, I was last year in the Five Towns, and I went to a minyan when he got married. When he got married, what's his name? Sandy Fishman. So I went, they davened in Chabad, because his father and mother davened in Chabad. They told me they davened there at 9:30. So I said, I couldn't believe it. 9:30?
That's not so late.
He davened at 9:30. So now they told me a lot of shuls davened at, imagine the Five Towns. I found the minyan at 9:15, and there was plenty of minyanim at 9 o'clock, that's for sure. Anyway, so I started walking, and I got lost. I don't know exactly how you can get lost, but kind of where you can. I walked one way, the other way. I was walking several miles. And I started out, by the way, at 8 o'clock, just to make sure I got there on time. Don't worry, I always say Kriya Shema. I'm usually makbid on the Magen Avraham as well, not just the Gra, but you don't have to be makbid on the Magen Avraham. You could be, it's enough, you could be Israel, the Kriya Shema, the Gra, and you're in good shape. That's what I heard from our Soloveitchi, it's the Bracha, and certainly, you can be some mechanim. Anyway, so I started walking and walking and walking. I walked down, what's it called, Central Avenue?
Yeah.
Which is a very fascinating place. In and we'll get into it right now. Baruch Hashem, at least people won't go starving. Every color opposite, without either of you. Chabanash, Baruch Hashem, that's the key. Okay, whatever the case is, so you have to be worried about people starving. You know? So, anyway, I walked the wrong way, and then I was told that different people getting different directions was crazy. There were conflicts all over the place. Was I supposed to speak to you today? And I didn't, did I? No, so what am I going to do with you? You still be here tomorrow morning? Okay, Baruch Hashem. I apologize. I just realized that this morning. Anyway, so, so I continued walking, and then I must have been walking an hour and a half. And where was I staying? Where did I stay? Somewhere in the five towns, obviously. No, I stayed with my nephew. I have a nephew who lives in Woodmere. Woodmere is not far. He lives right near Esh Kodesh. So I stayed with him, which is should be a 20-minute walk to Chabad. Where's Chabad? It's a different city. What's that city?
Cedarhurst.
Okay. Cedarhurst. Okay, they told me that. So finally, I walked an hour and a half. But I arrived there. I came there at 9:43. I said to myself, they probably by now are up to Kriyas HaTorah. I arrived at 9:43. They had not begun. And they began at about 9:55, approximately. Which I was really... What? Anyway, so the question is, a woman wants to sleep late Shabbos morning, but she arranges her children's clothing beforehand, and they'll get dressed by themselves and won't bother her. I know a fair number of people like that. Anyway, is that permissible? And the answer, of course, is chas v'sholem. B'shum panim v'oifim. That's exactly classic borer, and unquestionably, to do this preparation on Friday night for Shabbos morning is called Achazman. The calling is once on Shabbos morning, and there are many, many such situations where you can find this, and you have to be very careful when it comes to Svarim. There's a Ha'or in the Shmir Shabbos Kilkos about that, and I have a whole list of such items, but I'm going to discuss them probably more next session, hopefully. But starting with Daniel, since you were waiting a lot of patience for a long time.
He wanted to make a bracha. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu. Melech Ha'ilam Sha'akol Yedivar.
Amen. Outstanding. Yes.
We said before that the grass had a shogay, and then the post say on the grass that it's bidyeva. What exactly was the bidyeva going?
You're asking on the Oz Didro. That's what he says.
Yeah.
A good kasha. You're the kasha. Bidyeva. You're asking the bidyeva of the way he interprets the grass. What's the problem? The yeah. Means I did it.
Yeah, is never shogeg with the
What are you asking? There can't be such a situation of shogeg with the Evan.
Yeah, it's what's the concept of shogeg with the
I think that's his lashon. If I'm not mistaken, you know, I have to look it up again. I shall do so. I don't remember now what he said, but I looked it up a while ago. Okay, I'll look it up. Yeah.
What exactly is Tarovas for Sfarim?
Okay, that I will discuss. At Pashup Shat, the way my Rebbe released some Alpha Zatzal, he told me, I asked him many years ago what a Tarovas is. Every Svarim shelf has a lot of Svarim in there. And sometimes people, you go to someone's home, you see that they are investigating a topic, they have 100 Svarim on the table, one on top of the other, in all different array of different Svarim. Is that called the Tarovis? So the way my Rebbe understood it, that would not be called the Tarovis. Neither that, nor that. It has to be, he said, wedged in very tightly, in order to be called the Tarovis. That's a Kiddush. That's not necessarily what the Pesukim say about Halacha over here, but it has to be wedged in tightly. And in the case of where it's on the table, you compare it to the Gemara and Shabbos. And the Gemara says you have a kalkola shel peros, and you simply spread it on the table. So each sefer is individually nikar. You can really discern each sefer individually. And then we felt that would not be called the Tarovis. So really that's a pretty, I would say, big kula in terms of the issue of Tarovis, because often you have Svarim that seem to be all mixed up together, you have piles and piles of some people. There was a other gadol that I knew that I was walking to his house, and I'm telling you, he had mamish piles and piles of svarim kibat that shmei shabayim. I can't even begin to describe it. I thought ein lecha taravos gadol bizos, but based on this, you'll be able to be makel. Means if each sefer is discernible as an individual name, and you can actually really, shall we say, identify it, even though maybe pretty much together, as long as it's not wedged in, then you're not be over in the issur taravos.
Like on the shelf is not a tarova.
If it's pressed in together, you might have a problem. Of course, the hadith for that, what you do is simply take out each sefer, take a look at it, and examine the hakdama, the sharblot, whatever it is. And this way, you'll
avoid the problem of Bora in case you may have an issue of Bora.
What about clothing, Tarovis?
Yeah, the same. I'm going to discuss it more about Michas, really. You'll see, I have a lot to say on this topic of Bora. I've written many, many notes on Bora over the years, and I won't be able to do it, Rabbi Zinkin, in 1 hour. It's not possible. And you only gave a few more seifim. So if I have more time, I will be glad to say a shiur on Bora that will be really comprehensive. So what should I do?
What do you suggest?
I suggest we do what Rabbi Levinsohn says. You know, Shabbos, call Yom Kula.
2 years.
What?
2 years to learn Shabbos.
So I should wait 2 years. Mr. Ruhr Dagdoma said people are nichshol isur l'aisa, and I should wait 2 years. That's what Rebbe's all talking. He said, well, you're saying all your svaras, the name of your Rebbe, are absolutely, they're being given isur l'aisa. That's what we told him. Wow, I didn't know what to say. I was just dumbfounded. So I told him, Harav, kol asvaro shal absolutely, and gambi svaros l'aisa. And then he said to me, ha ha. okay, I'm going to stop here, but I'll clean that up. I'll try a bit more next time to, shall we say, get more into a bit barrier, into the kishkes of barrier.